SBS Radio.
Understanding how a young child's listening and communication skills are developing is critical in a child's learning journey. Hearing Australia has recently launched a new toolkit to help parents, health workers and early childhood educators quickly identify hearing loss in children. Sam Hercus, Principal Audiologist, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Services at Hearing Australia, says that the toolkit allows parents and carers decide whether a child needs help from a hearing or speech specialist so that the child can thrive in the early years before school. In our conversation, Sam Hercus breaks down the components of the toolkit and how to use it.
The toolkit is for early childhood workers and primary health workers. And the two main tools in the toolkit are really simple. They're just parent checklists. So they're tools called the PLUM, which is a listening skills check, and the HATS, which is a talking skills check. The PLUM is just 10 questions, the HATS is 5 questions, and it just helps those people, primary health workers, early childhood workers, have a really nice conversation with parents about what they are seeing their children do recently with their everyday listening skills and their everyday talking skills. We're particularly happy about the PLUM, which is the listening skills checklist. We developed it with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health services and early childhood services. It's new to the world. There's nothing like it. It really helps us work out which children need a hearing referral super early. So much, much earlier than we have reliably been able to do that in the past. So it's a really, really useful tool for working out which children might need a hearing check early. So of course, then leading to help for them to hear well. But it's also a really lovely knowledge building conversation. Parents walk away from that conversation with a much better idea of the kinds of listening behaviours to look out for in their children. Then the next time when they come back and do a PLUM, you know, a year later or 6 months later, that level of awareness about what kinds of listening behaviours to look for is higher than it was before.
What kind of a question would be in the PLUM?
Very easy questions. For instance, does your child recognise who's talking when they can't see them? Or if you call out to your child from another room or from somewhere where they can't see you, can they hear you? So do they show? They might not say, yes, Mum, I'm here, I'm listening to every word you say, but you might see a change in behaviour, and that's all we're looking for. Is there a sign that they can hear you? It also asks the same question for quiet situations, but also for noisy situations, so we can get a bit of an understanding about how much more difficult it is for this child when it's noisy. And one of the really valuable things about the PLUM is that, you know, ear trouble is very common, and you might have a child in front of you who has had some ear trouble rumbling along for a little while, but you're not sure whether or not to be concerned about whether it's having an impact on their listening skills development or their talking skills development. You know, you don't see them every day. It's impossible to track whether they've had ear trouble, you know, every day for 3 months or every day for 6 months or just for the last little while. So the benefit of the PLUM is that if you talk that through with Mum and the child is not quite where they should be, you can begin to draw some conclusions about how much this ear trouble is affecting their listening and talking skills development, and whether you need to really prioritise this child to get some help quickly, or whether it's okay, they do have some ear trouble, but they're rolling along quite well, let's just keep an eye on them, let's just do another PLUM and another HATS in, let's say, 6 months' time, and just check in on how they're going then. It's a really great tool for working out how concerned you need to be, because we know that many Aboriginal children do experience some ear trouble that goes on for some time.
You say that hearing loss is preventable. How successful are the tools that are being implemented in preventing hearing loss so far?
What we're hoping is that the PLUM in particular will lead to much faster identification of children who do have ear trouble and are experiencing hearing loss. If your child is not quite on track with their listening skills, that's a reliable indicator that they're not quite hearing as well as they need to be. So we can use the PLUM to work out which kids really need a hearing assessment fast. Once we've got that information, we can then accelerate. You know, we've got evidence to help us accelerate their pathways to something that's going to help them hear well. Yeah. So, and that something is, it could be a referral, a really fast referral to an ear, nose and throat specialist. Or it could be, and both could happen at the same time, a referral to Hearing Australia to talk about, look, they're not hearing quite well enough at the moment. What can we do right now? You know, we've seen that happen for quite a few families already.
And this leads to so many other things, like now Literacy Day. If they are not hearing and listening and, you know, hearing already, it affects their ability to speak and their ability to follow their lessons. And it can have a flow-on effect that's a lifetime actually challenging. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about listening skills. Interestingly, one of the last listening skills to fall into place right before kids start school is that ability to see a symbol, like a letter, and understand the sound that's associated with it. So obviously that's an important pre-literacy, you know, or school readiness skill, because that's a skill that you need in order to begin to learn to read and write.
Now, you just mentioned the seeing the letter, but also when kids are learning to speak, one of the things that, that's just to bring us into the current context we are going through with mask wearing, and I've seen so many parents or even in schools, when kids are learning to speak and teaching them the sounds, they have to see the lips moving. You go by P for something like that, and by seeing the lip movements, then they can actually pick up what sound that letter is. And now we're wearing masks, so because people might say, oh, that's about speech, but hearing and speech, these things go together, and even the mouth.
You're absolutely right. There are a couple of challenges for people with hearing impairment with mask wearing. There are good reasons, absolutely very good reasons for wearing masks at the moment. But yes, around the world, people with hearing impairment are definitely finding that problematic for a few reasons. As you've pointed out, when you wear a mask, you can't see people's facial expressions and their lip movements. So that makes it really difficult for anyone with any level of hearing loss, particularly in a noisy situation. The second impact, of course, is that the effect of wearing the mask muffles some of the soft speech sounds. So that impacts clarity. So not only are you not seeing what people are saying, you're not hearing clearly what people are saying either. With the not seeing what people are saying, there have been some interesting transparent masks being developed to help with that. Yeah. And the third issue, of course, is that I think we've probably all experienced, when you take off your mask, if you're wearing glasses, often your glasses end up coming off at the same time. And the same thing is happening for hearing aids. People are taking off their masks and flicking off their hearing aids at the same time. Sometimes they don't realise that that's happened, because, you know, hearing aids are such lightweight things these days, you barely feel them. So when you flick it out of your ear, it can be gone before you know it. So there's a rise around the world in lost hearing aids as well as a result of mask wearing. Yeah. But no doubt mask wearing is the thing that we need to be doing right now.
Yeah, most definitely, because there's a balance to consider the health condition, the health crisis you're going through. But you just spoke about hearing aids. Now for little ones, well, you mentioned that they can fall off. Now, how adapted to their situation, their young age, and they are also, they can't stay still. They're not like adults who can be told what to do and will pick up those instructions. But how good are these hearing aids, and how do kids actually adopt them? Is it easy for them to adopt them? Are they adapted to their young age? Just explain to us a little bit how this works in a family and school setting.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, children are being fitted with hearing aids these days, especially after newborn hearing screening was introduced, from a really, really young age. So, you know, by the age of 3 months, 6 months, children whose hearing loss, especially significant hearing loss, is picked up through newborn hearing screening are wearing hearing aids from very early on in their lives. Wow. And you know, obviously, if it's a baby who's wearing a hearing aid, they don't have it on, you know, every hour of their day. There are times when it's appropriate for them to be wearing them and times when it's not. If it's a toddler who's wearing a hearing aid for the first time, of course there are challenges with keeping a new hearing aid, whatever kind of hearing aid it is, on. And it really requires calm, patient parenting to just pop it back on again, minimal fuss, talk about it in a positive way. But look, it's highly variable from child to child. And of course, it makes such a difference for them. Yeah. When, you know, we've all seen those beautiful videos circulating on social media, the yeah. difference it makes for a child when you switch on a hearing aid, or a cochlear implant.
Yeah.
For the first time, it's just, you can just see it's a revelation for them one way or another. You know, you see a variety of reactions, but it, you know, it's a big thing for them, opening up their world in a whole new dimension that they hadn't experienced before.
Going back to the Indigenous context, do you have any numbers, just to give us some numbers compared to the rest of the community?
So for Aboriginal children, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, there's quite a lot of hearing loss experienced by that community. And a lot of it relates to ear infection. So ear infection that starts early, it can start within the first 6 months, within the first year of life, and extend right throughout that really important early learning period where those important skills that the plum and the hats check. Yeah. So listening skills, talking skills are being learned. Ear trouble is the main cause of hearing loss for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. It's really variable across Australia, from urban to regional to remote places, how much ear infection there is. In general, children in remote communities experience a lot more ear infection but it's still much higher for Aboriginal children in cities and metro areas than for non-Indigenous kids. It's these days, it's a lot more likely to be, you know, in the old days, we used to see a lot of runny ear where you might have pus coming out of your ears.
Yeah.
These days you still do see that and you are more likely to see that in remote communities. But there's a lot less of it than there used to be, which is great. So there's less of the most severe form, but there's a rise in glue ear. So glue ear is when you've got non-infected fluid just sitting quietly in the middle ear. Doesn't necessarily cause any pain. It's not very visible, but if it sits there for long enough, it really does cause a significant hearing loss. So that's a challenge in itself. It's not easy for parents to know if their kids have glue ear. You wouldn't necessarily be saying, gosh, I have to get to the doctor, got to go to the clinic, got to get my kids' ears checked. I'm worried about their ears, because there may not be any signs of that. So that's why it's so important for parents just to routinely ask to get their kids' ears checked. At Hearing Australia, you know, we look after children and their hearing technology, and every year around 300 to 400 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children start wearing hearing aids for the first time of one kind or another. Most often it's for ear infection. So ear infection that's just gone on and is causing, you know, a significant hearing loss that they need help to hear. It used to be that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids weren't getting their first hearing aids until 10 years ago, until they were around 8, which is really, really late. But we're doing a whole lot better these days. In 10 years later, the most common age is now 5 that kids start getting a hearing aid. But our goal is for that to be around 1 or 2. So that's the challenge, to reach children really, really early when their hearing is just starting to be a problem, and to help them to hear better in that critical period where they're learning all those really, really important skills.
Yeah. And there's a goal on your website that says you want to eradicate, I mean, to close this gap by 2029. It's only 9 years from now. And when we're hearing about the other closing the gap targets, people are thinking even about 70 years time span to close some other gaps. But in this particular context, you're talking about a very short time span. It's a very ambitious plan, target, I mean.
It is a very ambitious plan. So obviously it's not something that we are doing alone. That could never be possible. And a lot of this sits in the, you know, the primary health space. And there are so many, you know, primary health services and Aboriginal hearing health services that are really focused on this. So we hope that by shortening that period of time that so many Aboriginal kids spend with hearing loss that impacts on the development of their listening and communication skills, that we're, you know, really going to make a contribution towards reducing the incidence of children experiencing hearing impairment. But yes, it is ambitious.
Would there be a message you want to put out there, or something I may have missed that you'd like to, an information you'd like to put out there?
I guess my message to parents and carers is to always ask to have your children's ears checked, whether they're aged 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So ask to have an ear check, and ask about a plum and a HATS check as well. So just check in to make sure that your bub's listening skills and talking skills are on track. If they aren't on track, there is so much that can be done to help. Helping them to hear well will help their listening skills and talking skills get back on track so that they can develop those skills for life.
Sam Harkus, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Bertrand.
Thanks a lot.
It's enjoyable. Thank you. Bye.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.